before there was Eden Hazard. There was Jean-Marc Bosman, captain of Belgium's under-21 team in the late 1980s. Bosman's place in football lore would not be cemented by sensational goals or a glittering trophy cabinet. His story would be about being a very important football rebel, much like the Katniss Everdeen of District 12 in the Hunger Games. Only, here he would not be reveling against the capital, but the commercial machinery that ruled European professional football. His impact would lead to professional football stars becoming the multimillionaires they are these days. He is the man whose individual fight would open the gateway of riches. Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense Stories, where we bring you the stories that made football. I am Tariq, and on today's show, an unlikely rebel out of the country of Tintin's creator, Belgium. In 2009, Real Madrid bought Cristiano Ronaldo from Manchester United, paying a transfer fee of $132 million, a record. 2 decades earlier, in 1989, the scenario in European football was very different. A club that was selling a player could charge a transfer fee to the buyer even if the player's contract had expired, in effect creating an exit barrier, which could mean that the player would find no takers because of that fee. Dan Johnson, spokesperson for the EPL.
Well, basically, the situation was that a player at the end of his contract could still be kept by that club, and so they didn't have freedom to move, and the club could actually demand a transfer fee and retain the registration.
Jean-Marc Bosman had signed for RFC Liège from Standard Liège, their cross-town rivals, in 1998 on a two-year contract. In 1990, his contract expired and he rejected the new reduced wage contract from RFC Liège and put in a transfer request to move to the French club Dunkirk. Now let's understand this. At that point of time, players could put in transfer requests when their contract ran over, but it was up to the club as to whether they would want them transferred or not. Also, the clubs could keep a transfer fee for the player even if he was out of contract, thus probably creating that exit barrier that we were talking about. Dan Johnson again.
Well, when a player signs for a club, they sign an agreement which keeps them at the club for normally 3 or 4 years. And at the end of that contract, they are no longer the property of the club.
So essentially, players were not necessarily free agents to move freely when their contracts expire in 1990. Nonetheless, Bosman negotiated a deal with the French club for 4.8 million francs instead of the 12 million francs that was the transfer fee set for him. But the deal fell through because RFC Liège was not very happy with it, and Bosman was suspended without wage at RFC Liège. Now understand this, he is a professional footballer and he has just been suspended without pay. The only choice left to the desperate Belgian was to go to court. This is 1990 and the European Commission and trade laws therein allow for the so-called freedom of movement of labour in Europe. They were to be implemented in football also as a profession, but the UEFA was not very happy to introduce them because they felt it would impact the grassroots of the game. And even though players could sign for other leagues than the ones that they were playing in their own country, they had restrictions on them placed by UEFA as to how many Europeans could play for, let's say, a game in the English Premier League. Nonetheless, Bosman went ahead and sued his club, that is RFC Liège, as well as UEFA, and the case went to the European Court of Justice, who was the arbiter in such matters of the European Commission and then subsequently the European Union. UEFA and FIFA obviously pushed back with their claims that this was for the good of the game. The good of the game was coming under threat. And if such free movement is allowed, this will wreck the grassroots structure of the game. But this ironically relegated Bosman to a struggle for survival as he tried to patch together his own career on the field, signing on for spells with tiny clubs as the legal battle raged on. Finally, in 1995, 5 years after he'd filed the case, the European Court of Justice ruled in Bosman's favor. They ruled that he was indeed being impeded in his freedom of movement as a professional across Europe because of those contract restrictions. And they also ruled that it was illegal for clubs to stop players from moving on a free transfer once their contracts had expired. And they banned the restrictions on the number of European Union players as well. So basically now a team could field any number of European players it wanted. Think about Chelsea, who would field, let's say, a team who would not probably even have a single Englishman. A new era dawned where players were free from the serfdom of a modest contract, because if they were coveted, they could be had for free by other clubs at the end of their contract. It also meant they could pressurize their clubs for better wages and contract terms when they were within the contract. So let's say when a Wayne Rooney wants to sign a contract, he could threaten about leaving the club at the expiry of the contract for free to pressure them into giving him a higher wage, so that the club retains him and can also set a transfer fee. But there is also a bit of a downside. Talent the clubs had nurtured and raised could be swooped away by other cash-rich clubs. The money would start calling the shots.
But the Bosman ruling was not without its downsides. We have Karan here, who is also an investment banker. So, Karan, and a Juventus fan?
Yes, I am.
After the Bosman ruling, 1995, we had Ajax as one of the most dominant teams at that point of time, the best academy in Europe. How did the Bosman ruling impact them?
Well, the Bosman ruling came out in 95, and that was the year that Ajax actually won the Champions League, beating AC Milan under Louis van Gaal. But yeah, it wasn't a team that was made up of many superstars. Some of the names from the team, especially the players who came from their domestic youth structure, Patrick Kluivert, Clarence Seedorf, Edgar Davids, Edwin van der Sar, any of these names sound quite familiar to you guys? So for 2 years, Ajax were actually one of the best teams in Europe. Two Champions League finals, won one, lost one. And then after that, the poaching started, and these future stars actually went elsewhere to ply their trade. And you could say that in many ways, Ajax, the heart was actually taken out of the Ajax team.
Yeah, but that's because Europe had just discovered open heart surgery equivalent of football, because they had just given them that right to negotiate contracts which would be more, let's say, more open, less restricting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, in many ways you could say that the players benefited, but you could also say to some extent the clubs also benefited, because especially if the players were under contract with the respective clubs, they were going to receive a substantial transfer fee in return. And definitely Ajax did receive a good amount of transfer fee for these players, because they were absolutely world class at the time and went on to become footballing legends.
So here is the paradox that we are trying to address. Ajax, after that, have not really reclaimed the glory days at all.
It's true. I mean, which is quite unfortunate if you actually think about it in hindsight, because you look at what happened after that. Teams like Real Madrid, Barcelona, really, you know, went skyrocketing with their astronomical transfer fees, and then later on you had teams like Chelsea and Manchester City coming in with their astronomical...
The new rich clubs were not expected phenomenon. I mean, they did not expect this influx of money into football like it came in, and then the Bosman ruling became a clear thing where the rich got... It favoured the rich and not necessarily the poor clubs.
So this was one of the concerns brought out about the Bosman ruling initially when it came, that if you just open the borders and if you make it just absolutely free for all, it kind of becomes a winner-take-all market where...
It became like a survival of the fittest kind of a situation.
So, Vishal, your take on it.
So here's the thing, right? So it's a great ruling for the players, where one, they are allowed to switch. From that point of view, at that point in time, it was a good move. It was a great move especially, but what it did is made the clubs more aware, made the clubs tie down players with bigger contracts, with buyout clauses and with all of this thing, which became which is where we come down to a point where a club like a Chelsea, a club like a Paris Saint-Germain, PSG or even Man City, where the influx of money was so much that some clubs just could not afford to meet the buyout clauses. So when a player's buyout clause has highest 35 to 40 million, because when the Bosman ruling was made, they did not expect this inflow of money into the game. And this is something that really changed the game for some clubs, where everybody, there are only a few clubs who can afford to buy these players anymore. And which is where you see the power shifting clearly to the clubs which have money, while clubs for example, even like something like the Swansea, which is like a beautiful club built on youth and they play local players. Even Ajax still are trying to build on their local players. But at the end of the day, they will need to have a mix of talent as well as stars, which is not an affordable criteria anymore.
I think the one point that people are missing is a lot of people say that, give the Barcelona example wherein, you know, they built a team around a fantastic domestic talent. Yes, they do have a lot of world-class foreign players and they've spent a lot of money. But then the thing is, it's easier for a club like Barcelona or, say, a Manchester United to hold on to the youth players because the players know that they are going to get trophies eventually at one time or the other. Whereas it's difficult for a team...
Not just
like
trophies, a contract for which pays you pretty well, for example.
Absolutely. Which will be difficult for teams like Ajax.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a problem. So now you have 18 or 19, perfect example of Sterling, who's being offered one six-figure salary at this point as a 20-year-old, which was unheard of, uninteresting, and which is why now Liverpool are in a situation where they need to sell this boy before... Ideally, he still has 2 years left in his contract, but there's panic because of the Bosman rule.
Pogba, City the other day read an article that they are willing to offer a world record sum for Pogba, and his salary would be around 346,000 euros a week. It's crazy.
Today, the Bosman ruling's impact allows Eden Hazard to score goals in the English Premier League, plying his trade without geographic or contractual restrictions. It was a metaphorical goal that Bosman scored for the cause of freedom. But ironically, Bosman himself was besotted with numerous personal problems and alcoholism issues post the ruling and now lives almost in penury. It's probably a cruel reflection of the system and how it never really allows pioneers and rebels their true due. He was interviewed by the Sun newspaper in 2011 and he said this to them, and I quote, "I don't want everything I did in my life to be for nothing. I'm happy for footballers earning a lot of money. I'm not jealous. I gave my career so European players wouldn't work like slaves. I just want to be recognized. People know there's a Bosman ruling, but they don't realize there's a guy who has given everything. A guy who became an alcoholic." End quote. Looks like the freedom of movement for footballers, like so many other freedoms, came at somebody's personal cost.